معكم جلوه.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. And you know, Friday, Jumu'ah, blessed day, Alhamdulillah, and blessed month, Dhul Hijjah, and blessed days as well, these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The day today is the 2nd of Dhul Hijjah, 1446. Let's welcome Mufti Muhammad Akusab, Hafidhullah. Mufti Sahab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum
assalam.
All well, you said?
Jee, alhamdulillah. All well, the said. How's everything on your side?
Allah is so kind, Aziz Marana, and Allah has given us such Mubarak days, among the best days of the year. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thumma alhamdulillah. Where's Mufti Sahab on a mission today?
No, shukr, we on our way to Ladies Matsoon, inshallah. After classes, we'll make it there for Jumu'ah, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Not far from our area, NKR, Ladies Matsoon,
inshallah. Okay, gee. Mufti AK Sahab was saying, yeah, you get Ladies Matsoon, and the other one was? There's a male also. So,
oh, Harrismuth. Yeah, yeah. Ladysmuth and Harrismuth. Manana, if you come by us, visit us 2 days, we'll take you to these areas. We'll take you around, inshallah.
Gee. Harrismuth, we always stop there for, you know, our podcast break.
Oh, yeah.
To Durban.
No, that's a lovely stop. Just a few days ago, a relative of mine passed on in, subhanAllah, near Leidenberg, the area called Burgers Fort. So, alhamdulillah, Allah make it easy for the family. But as we were going, we were very close relatives of my granny. So we passed this beautiful town called Dalstrom. So you'll stop at Harrismuth. So where you'll go to when you're stopping at Harrismuth?
Isn't it there by, just shortly after that, it's where that we normally go there, it was that wrap it up and that before. So we,
yes.
For Salah facilities and that, it's more convenient. But I believe now there's quite a few garages with Salah facilities. But because we're so used to it from small, so we just stop there.
Oh, so you have family in that time?
Not really. Maybe far family, but not close family.
Okay, nice. The next time then you can come by Newcastle also, because we also have family.
Inshallah.
And make your ikram.
Gee. Alhamdulillah.
When we stopped at Dalstrom.
Gee.
I happened to stop there last in the weekend, and one of the garages, I left this literature on Islam. And there's a lot of tourists in that area. Then I had to go there this week. I had to leave after class for the janazah. And as I'm coming back yesterday, then I stopped at the garage again. And I'm asking them, what happened to the literature? They say, all is finished. So I put again. I put there, among the books that I put there was Hidden Treasures in the Bible. One of the Bismillah. Very nice. They were the Afrikaans translations. I put a nice stack there. The Afrikaners coming in there. Well, most of them were taking, alhamdulillah. So people are very thirsty to know about Islam. Alhamdulillah. Then one of the garages, when I was traveling, so I stopped to make salah. Just 3 days ago. So we stopped to make salah and we made the adhan. So a Muslim stopped and told me, not far is a masjid. So I said, Jazakallah, I'm telling you, you are so kind of you to take out your time to tell me, and I'd love to visit the masjid, inshallah. But the reason why I'm praying here is there's wonderful human beings passing here. It's possible that they've never seen salah in their life. So that's why I'm praying here. He says, oh, hey, Jazakallah, can I meet you after your salah? I said, of course. So after I finished salah, and I greeted the people passing there, gave them some literature. And I went to meet this Muslim brother who runs a nice store there. So he says, you know, what you say makes so much of sense. I've never, you know, understood something like this before. But how our deen must not be hidden from the people, but be made available to the people. And he told me that when he studied in university, there were people who tried to try and convert him to Christianity. Now he wants to invite them to Islam. So I started helping him on how he should do so and so forth, inshallah. So shukr that salah, these opportunities on travel to stop, to call the adhan and perform the salah, it's so meritorious and so virtuous. Such an opportunity Allah gives us through travel where we can, alhamdulillah, spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like one hadith we can share with our listeners, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you pray and you read your iqama and then salah, Salla ma'ahu malakahu, the two angels will pray with you. But when you call the adhan, render the adhan, and then the salah, iqamah min salah, salla ma'ahu min junoodillahi ma la yura tarafahu. So many of Allah's angels, such large amounts of angels will attend that salah, that you won't be able to see the end of the first of the saf. That's how many malaika will come on just hearing the adhan. And mashallah, it's such an opportunity of da'wah. I remember some time ago at one complex that a relative of mine was building. So we stopped there. It was quite out of town. So it was salah time. So children were playing there. So I told them, I'm going to be calling the adhan. And don't worry, it's a prayer. But you all can play. I'm just going to be saying these words and this is what it means. And there was an Africana couple sitting about 15 meters from there, elderly couple. And we made salah. These kids told me, uncle, can we pray with you? So I said, of course. So we made salah. After that, I sat with them. I made dhikrullah with them. And this elderly couple walked towards me. So I get up out of respect. I say, Ma, what can I do for you? So this elderly Ma is telling me, she says, you know, I'm now about 75, 74. And all my life, I've been hearing this call. But I want to tell you, thank you. Because no one has ever explained this to me. And whenever I would hear this, I would say, oh, there they go again for themselves. This is the first time I get to know what it means. I really appreciate it. So I go towards my car, take out some literature, and I share it with her. She was quite elated by that. So basically, hidayat is not in our hands. But we have to make itmamul hujjah, like in so many verses of the Quran, the deen must be made available to humanity. Mm. And every one of us can play a part in that. You know, to travel, to a simple way is make ikram of people. You know, we go with our family sometimes and they pack up some such nice sandwiches, samosas, you know, and you send your little son to offer the family sitting there on the other area of the grass, you know. Offer them. You're on a flight, you offer some nice packed sandwiches, you offer ikram. Muslims will be open-hearted, soft-hearted, approachable. You know, someone is sick, help out. These are opportunities where we seize on journeys to spread and share the deen of Allah. And this is why when we read Surah Yaseen, one of the very pertinent themes there is this chapter reminds us of three messengers coming to a town, and one man from the town helping and standing up to defend the Anbiya alayhi salam. If ja'a al-mursalun, in arsalna ilayhim ithnayn. This whole that story, how the three invited the community, what was the reaction of the people, how they rejected the Anbiya. Then Quran highlights one man who comes from the outskirts of that same city. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. And there comes from the outskirts of the city a man rushing. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Oh my people, follow the Anbiya. Follow these messengers of Allah. They are not asking you for anything in return. These are Allah's people. They only want guidance for you. And what they did was now, they started threatening this individual. Habib Najjar, rahimahullah. They threatened him. They wanted to hurt him. And he said, how can I denounce my Allah when Allah does everything for us and to Allah is our return? So in that they killed him. Yeah? And subhanAllah, how when he passed on, he still worried for his people. He says, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. Oh Allah, I wish my people only know how much you have honored me, how much you have given me maghfirah and ikram. So mashallah, as you're saying, may Allah reward you. But these opportunities are lovely, alhamdulillah. Mm. I would exhort all our listeners also, take a few booklets on our travels, wherever we go. Even if where we're working is far from home, keep a few in your cubby. And now you have the intention that, Ya Allah, I want to spread your deen. And Allah will open avenues. We'll see somebody and somebody interested to know about Islam. But so many of them are scared to come to a masjid to ask. But now they are interacting with us, so we make it available to them. Inshallah, they'll read. Inshallah, they'll get interested. Inshallah, they will come to Islam. Hidayat is not in our hands, but Allah has given us the ability to try. And I feel that's one of the pertinent lessons of Hajj, the Hajj of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you allow us, then we can crux that aspect, inshallah.
Gee, alhamdulillah. It was just a few thoughts that was coming to mind as Mufti Saab was speaking. Why we enjoy to have this program every Jummah especially is because it really wakes us up to say that this is supposed to be treated like something serious. Whereas if you take the ordinary person, and I would say at least 90% of people or more even could be, we do not leave our houses with to see who can we share Islam with. It's more just about, by the way, if the opportunity comes. But alhamdulillah, by listening to you, it motivates us and it makes us think that innamal a'malu bin niyat, actions are judged according to its intentions. When you're leaving the house with this intention that, yes, I'm going to do everything according to Sharia, and also may Allah make it such that I meet someone, like Mufti Saab said, when you are passing, you are hoping to share Salah with someone who perhaps doesn't know about Salah. So these are important reminders for us, and we all need it. And that's the benefit of these things.
And JazakAllah for thinking good of us and giving us the opportunity, Maulana Saab. We really appreciate it. To motivate our listeners to actually keep this as part of our motive and objective. And as you're saying, not just something by the way, the ayah of the Quran is very interesting. Surah Yusuf, ayat number 109-110. Qul, O my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell your ummah, Qul, hadihi sabili, this is my way. Ad'u ila Allah, I invite to Allah. I am an inviter to Allah. Ad'u bil mudari', I invite to Allah. I constantly invite to Allah. And inviting to Allah is, I invite every non-Muslim to Allah. Whenever the Quran Kareem speaks of inviting, it refers to Anbiya inviting all the non-Muslims to Islam. Like Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam gave da'wah for 950 years. Yes, they were almost about 80 Muslims. He used to teach them, he used to make effort on them 100%. But his day and night praying behind the people, it was the non-Muslims. So if we say to our listeners, go day, night and day, probably they won't want to do that. But at least leave our homes with the intention that, Ya Allah, you give me an opportunity to connect somebody and somebody to you. So, ad'u ila Allah. The Messenger of Allah is told to say to his ummah, this is my way, this is my path, this is my road. Like a train has a track, the aeroplane has its path, the car travels on the road, the ship has its path at sea. Allah's Nabi is saying, my way, my path is I am an inviter to Allah. Ala basira, with wisdom and insight. Because through inviting, we mustn't chase them away, but bring them closer. Ad'u ila Allah ala basira. Ana, this is what I do. Wa man ittaba'ani, and all those that follow me do the same. So basically having this intention when leaving our homes and wherever we go in the world, something very, very pertinent. As you're saying, Allah give us tawfiq. But shaitan fears us having this intention. We find, and our listeners can do their analysis, that we'll travel to the world, wherever it is. Some will go to Spain, some will go to Argentina, some will go to Brazil, some will go to Africa, some will go to America, some will go to UK, some will go to China, on business, on trade, or with family, for recreation. But da'wah will not be in our mind at all. We'll remember, then we'll hear a program, and they'll say, oh, yeah, we should do it. But then we'll book our tickets. We'll have the Uber guy's number. We'll have Uber downloaded. We'll have our bookings for the hotel. Every aspect, trip top. But we will not put in our luggage some literature or a few translations of the Quran. Ya Allah, I want to share your deen. And shaitan will not let us. He will try his best to make us forget this aspect. But we would exhort our listeners. This is an aspect that is so pertinent because the Quran is saying, this is my Nabi's way and this is your way and my way, O respected listeners. So wherever we go in the world, if we just keep a few booklets and then our intention, the intention has a great impact. Allah give us the Jazakum Allah, you are giving us the opportunity. Allah reward you.
We were just going to renew our license. So I went to one place and then we had to go to No, it was actually I took my car for a service, and in between I said, let me just renew my license while I'm waiting for the car service. So I asked the driver there if he can take me. So he said, no problem, I'll take you. So like this, we get the motivation from these lessons and these reminders. So I was just speaking to him, and then he asked me, this dress of yours with the kurta, where do you buy it from? So I said, there are places which you can buy it from. And I gave him certain places where he can go. So this was in Rivonia. So I said, you can go to Fordsburg, Mayfair, these areas, you'll find Mr. Egypt there and there. So I said, but why are you so interested in this? Is there a reason? Are you interested in accepting Islam, or what's the reason? So he said, no, we in his religion, they dress like this. So he wants to now embrace it. And so then that's where we now came in, and I started speaking to him. And I asked him, so who are you staying with, this, that, the other? He said, I'm staying with my girlfriend, and we are trying hard to now make it into a marriage because we can't live like this. So I said, what's stopping you? So he said, no, the labola, all these things are just too expensive. So I said, there's it. Islam is so easy. If you accept Islam or you're interested in Islam, then there's no minimum mahar. You can pay 700, 800 riyals, and you can get past all of these things. There's no difficulties. That's the beauty of Islam in that. Then he was showing a bit of interest, and I gave him my number in that. But where this all comes in and fits in, as you were saying, Mufti Sahib, we'll just come in and bring in the Hajj sector, the Hajj program, or the Hajj advisors now, is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is the hero of Hajj. And how he used at different places his intellect and his intelligence, looking at the stars and say, Hada Rabbi. And then afterwards it fades away, and he tells the people that, see, this thing fades away. How can you worship things like these? How it, so many different places he used his intelligence for Sharia to bring the oneness of Allah in people's minds.
To have them understand, to have them open their minds to see the oneness of Allah. True.
Chief Mufti Sahib, so you can, we've got 12 minutes left.
Okay, majazakumullah. Yesterday we were passing one of the garages to full petrol in Leidenbach. So there now, I'm speaking to the guy filling petrol for me. And, you know, he's telling me, I'm very intrigued in the way you'll believe in God and love God. I love God also. And you gave a few others that literature. Can I also have? I said, sure. And I gave him an intro to Islam, our relationship with Allah. He says, yes, I with punctuality go to the church. I explained to him the difference, how Jesus worshipped God. And I quoted for him from the Bible, Mark 12:29. When he was asked, what do we do to attain eternal life? He said, uphold the commandments of God, the first of which is worship the Lord thy God and serve him only. And this is such a religious guy. He says, you know, when COVID started, he saw a dream because he was intrigued whether he should take the COVID, take the vaccine or not. He says, I saw a dream that don't take this because this is the mark of the devil. And basically, the mark of the Antichrist. And so when I was, he's quite a religious person. And he says, you know, I'm so interested in Islam because he's religious. He wants to know the truth. Religious and open-hearted. Some of the Afrikaners I've approached, very few, they'll say, no, we're not interested. We are lovers of Christ. I say to them that we learned that Christ was a humble man. He wouldn't chase people away. So they keep quiet. You know, some of the Afrikaners are very arrogant. They believe now we're born again. We like this, we like that. And they don't want to take the literature. So I tell them, if you give me something, I'll take it. But I'm sharing something with you and you're changing me away. Is that what Christ did? I said, they don't know where to put their faces. I just tell them that and I walk away. But that's a very few of them who would react that way. Most of them really appreciate it. Like this guy, filling petrol, was really, really intrigued. But yes, as you're saying, this is Mubarak days. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ma min ayyamin, from all the days of the year, these days are most virtuous, to such an extent that the Quran Kareem takes an oath by these days. So I want to mention a few incidents that happened in Mina and Arafah prior to the Hijrah. And then inshallah we'll go into discussing the Hajj of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I think that would be on another occasion because our time would have elapsed. And then inshallah we'll also discuss which deeds for you and I as Muslims But we can do, we can also get the rewards of Hajj. Allah gave us all the victory to go for Hajj again and again. But some of us are not there and we are here. There are certain things we can do on a daily basis where we get rewards, like on Hajj, inshallah. So Allah gives us all tawfiq. Some of these events, one, remember, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yearly would go to attend Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah. And prior to that was Uqab, Majinnah, and Dhil Majaz. These were marketplaces that were held in Makkah prior to the days of Hajj. So Arabs would come from far and wide to attend these occasions. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go there. It was a bazaar. He was there. What was he doing there? He was inviting to Islam. Then Hajj started. He was not there for Hajj. Hadith is sahih. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afrad al-Hajj, meaning he performed one Hajj. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his Hajjatul Wada. But in Makkah Mukarramah, he was there yearly. What was he doing there? He was there inviting to Islam. The first 3 years, the beloved of Allah, Hazrat Abdullah bin Ka'b bin Malik's report, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Makkah first 3 years, inviting to Allah individually, mustakhfiyan, individually talking to people on an individual basis. ثم أعلن في الرابعة. Then in the 4th year after Nubuwwah, he started calling to Allah openly, collectively, in gatherings, tribes, and anyone who came to Makkah, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached them. فَدَعَى عَشْرَ سِنِينَ. In these days of the Hijjah, 10 years consecutively, from the 4th year after Nubuwwah, right till the 13th year, يُوَافِ الْمَوْسِمَ. He used to go to the seasons of Hajj. Mina, Arafah, Muzdalifah. يَتْبَعُ الْحَاجِ. Go behind all the Hujjaj in their dwellings, in their areas, فِي مَنَازِلِهِمْ. Whether they were camped at that time in Uqab, Majannah, Dhil Majaz. يَدْعُوهُ. Inviting them to Allah. And also encouraging them to allow him to speak to their people. And look at it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that time you had to have permission to speak to the tribes. Today, Allah made it so easy for us. They call it, a free country. They call it freedom of speech. They actually did that with their agenda of trying to advocate what they are advocating through the media, through the tube, through the TikTok and TokTik. Now, they're trying to hinder Islam from spreading. But the same logo they are using, freedom, everyone has a choice. So why don't we use that opportunity where we can talk to people? Yeah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking to the leaders and then he's saying, okay, can I speak to your people? And some of them would allow him, others would stop him. Today, in the system, the world is, yes, it's sad in so many aspects, but there's a certain positivity where we can talk to people. It is open as far as talking to people is concerned. While we can, why not seize the opportunity? We don't need anyone's permission to speak to people. Alhamdulillah. And some of our listeners and some of our people are such prominent people. Some have 50, 60, 100, 200 staff, and some have more. Even if you're working with one person and you are staff of someone, you can motivate the beauty of Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek permission then. And then he would speak to the tribes. And then he would find out where each tribe was residing. يَسْأَلُوا عَنِ الْقَبَائِلِ وَمَنَازِلِهِمْ قَبِيلَةً قَبِيلَةً. He went to every single tribe. One day, he found out that the Banu Amir bin Sa'sa'a tribe is camped at this vicinity. He went to them. Amir bin Sa'sa'a. Allah, the way they hurt our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he left there, he was chased and they stoning him. Leave stoning the Jamarat, they stoning our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he reached Banu Muharib bin Khasafa. He found an old man, 100 years, 120 years old. The beloved of Allah spoke to him and invited him to Islam. And then he said, also, I want to speak to your community members. So the old man said, Ayyuhar-rajul, please, your own people know about you. Qawmuk a'lamu binaba'ik. And he says, by God, if anyone takes you to their vicinity for you to talk to them about one God, I can tell you, people are taking the worst thing ever from the season of Hajj. So please, get rid of yourself. أغني عنا نفسك. Get away from us. Move. Ya Allah. Who is hearing these words, my brothers? Who is hearing these words? Our beloved. But why is he going through all of this? He's the greatest. Why must he go tribe to tribe, person to person, tent to tent, young to old? It gets worse. In the same riwayah, when he goes to this tribe, when Muharib bin Khasafa and the old man hurts his feelings like this. Have you ever been insulted, respected Ummah? Allahu Akbar. How hurtful it is. Imagine the pain in his heart that he's the greatest. Abu Lahab then comes there and he hears how the words of the Muharibi is attacking our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and hurting his feelings like this. Abu Lahab then motivates him and says, you know, I'm proud of you. I wish everyone, because he goes to everyone, yeah. I wish everyone's reaction was like yours. And indeed, yes, you are right. He is a liar. He is irreligious. So forth. And then the Muharibi then says to him, you know, maybe he's sick. Maybe he's mad. Says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, maybe you are mad and sick. I'll get you a doctor to treat you. Because you try to tell people about one God. Have you lost it? Ya Allah. And this is what Abu Lahab used to do. And he followed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Any tribe Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to, Abu Lahab is following him. And whenever he finds people listening attentively, he then follows up and warns them, don't listen. Don't listen to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah. Imagine respected Ummah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to many tribes like this. Banu Abs, Banu Abdullah, Banu Kinda, Banu Ka'ab, year in and year out. So this is our request. This was Allah's beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's attendance there at Mina, Arafah, prior to the days of Hajj. And inshallah, we will discuss Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's actual Hajj, inshallah. But to finish off, there's an interesting hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, when he said that for an accepted Hajj, the reward of which is guaranteed paradise. لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءَ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ So Sahaba asked him, وَمَا بِرُّ الْحَجِّ How would we acquire an accepted Hajj? Interesting in this riwayah. It was expected that the beloved of Allah would say, make a lot of tawaf, a lot of ibadah, a lot of tilawah, and rightfully so. But imagine in this hadith, he says, to get an accepted Hajj, feed people food, speak to people politely, and make salam to the people. إِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامُ وَلِينُ الْكَلَامُ وَإِفْشَاءُ السَّلَامُ وَكَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Imagine, this is such a beautiful deed that you and I can practice while we are at home also. And Allah give us the way to do it in Hajj, because Hajj is so special. But what an amal. Feed people, make ikram of people for Allah. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ We heard it in tomorrow's, in this morning's Fajr. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ Feed people food for Allah, because we love Allah. Not wanting anything in return from the people. Feed them lovingly. You're preparing a nice meal, make a few parcels, send your child next door to the neighbor, give them for Allah. One is to give leftovers. No, give it when you love it. And at the beginning, dish for people first, feed people. And make salam to people. And talk politely to people. And with the intention that, Ya Allah, give them hidayah. This is the intention we should have. Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, Da'i jis raaste pe jayega, Allah Ta'ala ke zikr ke saath, Ummat ke fikr ke saath, Allah Ta'ala batil ke akharat ko torega. A da'i wherever he traverses, with the zikr of Allah, with the worry for humanity, just his passing through that alley, gully, avenue, region, Allah will eradicate the effects of the forces of batil, inshallah. So Allah help us all, and Allah help us value these days. These are days equated to the last 10 days of Ramadan. Imagine how virtuous. And ulama then say, these days are best, and Ramadan, the nights are best. But both are very meritorious. Allah takes qasam by these 10 days. Let's maximize. But there is a difference. The shayateen are still let loose in these 10 days. So let's not let that avert us from our objective of ibadah, kathrat al-zikr, kathrat al-ibadah, kathrat al-tilawah, kathrat al-akhlaq, ikram. Allah, may karne ki tawfiq ata farmaye. May Allah enable us to carry out the service of His deen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummiyin. Rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahib, for that wonderful message. Make dua for us as well. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.